Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first Sunday of Lent. Beloved of Jesus Christ, the text is Matthew chapter 4, 1 to 11. Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist. God has announced, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Last week at the Transfiguration, you heard him add, "Listen to him." Today, we find Jesus, right after his baptism, fulfilling the readings of this morning. He is led up into the desert by the Spirit in order to be tempted by the slanderer. Now, the devil is the slanderer, and he's the tempter, and he is a snake, a serpent. Very sneaky, which all of us have probably already learned in our short lives how sneaky and tempting the Lord can be. The word tempt has two meanings simultaneously. One side of tempting is that we are tempted to do evil. That's what happens in our lives, tempted to do evil. God never tempts anyone to do evil. The other side of tempt is to be put to the test. That's what God does with you and I in the temptations, is puts us to the test, checking and toughening and tightening our obedience in faith. In Jesus' case, he does both in order to be our Savior as true God and true man in one person. Consider this. Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted to evil and to put his mission to the test. And he does this in behalf of all humanity, including us. 40 days, 40 nights, fast. And then he was hungry. Matthew, in the 5th chapter, says, "You will be blessed if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. You shall be blessed." I don't know about you, but I know about me. I can't go one day. I'm not very good at fasting at all. But think about 40 days, no food, all on account of being put to the test. He got hungry. And the tempter approached him and said to him, "In this hungry state, this weakened state, at the limit of human nature, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." Did you hear what Satan has power to do? He knows who Jesus is. And so we ought to at least know what he knows about Jesus. That he's not a god. He's not a mere man. He's not someone of lesser value. He's God in the flesh, come to take on Satan and fulfill all righteousness for us, his children and his brothers and believers. He's the one who said at the beginning of Lent, repent, for the kingdom or the reign of heaven is near. He's it. He's the reign. He wants to teach us how to be obedient in faith. The call of Lent, then, is to repent. Have true sorrow for your sins, and at the same time, have faith in Jesus alone. The tempter wants to take Jesus out of his mission, to not have him be the coming one, the anointed one, the promised one, the one who would redeem Israel and us. He wants Jesus to do the impossible, turn stones into loaves of bread, for nothing is impossible for God. Jesus is here to fulfill all righteousness because we fail. We can't follow the example he left. I can't, you can't. Jesus does it in our stead. He's our Savior because we can't withstand temptation. Jesus, our Redeemer, says, it stands written. This word in Greek means it was stands written at the time it was spoken or written, just now and in the future. That's a pretty strong word. And every one of us, I think, knows when we get into a discussion with our children or a spouse, if we say something and it backfires, there's one rule. You can never take it back. Once it's spoken, it's spoken. And God is that way. He speaks. It will be fulfilled. He will not take it back. And this is what is written, stands written. A person shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes through the mouth of God. This convicts us all. We don't live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. But Jesus did. Throughout his entire life, he did that for all of us. None have lived by every word that comes through the mouth of God. Even the tempter knows that. And so he goes on to the second temptation. And this time, he's quite a bit sneakier than he was in the first. He took the slanderer to take Jesus along into the holy city, stood him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and did say to him, if you are the Son of God. He knows he's the Son of God, but what he is doing is he has the power to take the Son of God, Jesus, in the flesh, up and put him on the pinnacle of the temple. If he's that powerful, what can he do in our lives? What does he do in our lives with the little lies and the temptation and the things that we do after baptism? So, baptized children of God, not one of us has done and put to the test has not been put to the test after our baptism. We sin against the Word. We sin against our baptism. We sin against God's call to the world and to worship. All this is covered by Jesus. Because this is what he said. For it stands written. Satan did. That to his angels he will give orders about you. And upon their hands they will carry you, lest you strike your foot against a stone. He lies. He misquotes the scriptures. Sometimes we do the same thing. Sometimes we misapply the scripture to our lives. Sometimes we leave phrases out, just like he did. There's a other part of Psalm 91:11b. To keep you in all your ways. That passage was to apply to his protection. And so Jesus takes him on. Again it stands written, you shall not test the Lord your God. Well, we do that. Any sin after baptism is really putting God and his grace in Christ to the test. But we know the promise that to keep you in all your ways, God calls us to repentance and faith. Jesus is the perfect Son. There's only one perfect Son. And in baptism, we're incorporated in him and accounted as if we did what he did. And he's accounted as doing all that we do. Again, the slanderer knows and takes him to temptation 3. He took him to a very high mountain, and he did show to him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Have you ever stopped to imagine if we could have a streaming video of all the evil that has been committed in the name of God and people from the time of Jesus' temptation to the present and even see into the future. This is what he shows to Jesus in this temptation. So that begs a question. Do we really, actually believe that evil exists in the world? And that Satan, the slanderer, the tempter, is real? The only pure answer we can give is what we confess, that we believe in the triune God who has sent his Son in the flesh to suffer, die, and rise again, that we might be forgiven. Not only us, but everyone in the world who will believe that he is the presence of God in the flesh and receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in his name. God has sent his Son to be the perfect Son to do battle against Satan because we can't. We fail. Our relief of failing is to confess and receive forgiveness, life, and salvation in his name. The slanderer said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship him. This is something we do not want to do. Jesus took him on. Leave. That's a command. Get out of my life. We can use that whenever you do get tempted. Get out of my life, Satan. Jesus is one. For it is written, it stands written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Here's a temptation that befalls us all. You shall worship the Lord your God and you shall serve him only. You do that when you come humbly to worship, Sunday after Sunday, when you read the Word, when you're involved in Lent, we need Christ's fulfillment of this temptation for our obedience. He fulfills all righteousness. Then He offers it to us in the forgiveness of sins. And the Lord proves that in verse 11. Jesus commands him to leave, tells him what stands written, and he did leave. And look, angels came and began to serve him. He is the Son of God in the flesh, come to offer us his victory as the perfect Son over all of our temptations. When we fail, we go back and grasp by grace his death and resurrection as if it were ours, the forgiveness of our sins. Then we will be satisfied, because those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be blessed when they turn to the comfort of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the perfect Son, fulfilling all righteousness for us rather than us in our failures. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.